नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 14th chapter, titled Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna, text number 3. Jnane prayasamudapasya namanta eva Jnane prayasamudapasya namanta eva जीवन्ति सन्मुखरिताम् भवदीय वार्ताम् जीवन्ति सन्मुखरिताम् भवदीय वार्ताम् स्थाने स्थिता स्तुतिगताम् तनुवाङ् मनोभिः स्थाने स्थिता श्रुतिगताम् तनुवाङ् मनोभिः ये प्रायशो जितजितोऽप्यसीतैस्त्रिलोक्या ये प्रायशो जितजितोऽप्यसीतैस्त्रिलोक्या ज्ञाने प्रयासमुदपास्य नमन्त एव जीवन्ति सन्मुखरिताम् भवदीय वार्ताम् स्थाने स्थिता श्रुतिगताम् तनुवाङ् मनोभिः ये प्रायशो जितजितोऽप्यसीतैस्त्रिलोक्या ज्ञाने प्रयासमुदपास्य नमन्त एव जीवन्ति समदुःखाम् भवदीय वार्ताम् स्थाने स्थिता श्रुतिगताम् तनुवाङ् मनोभिः ये प्रायशो जितजितोऽप्यसि त्रैस्त्रिलोक्या Matajis. Jnani for knowledge. Prayasam, the endeavor. Udapasya, giving up completely. Namantaha, offering obeisances. Eva, simply. Jivanti, live. Sat Mukharitam, chanted by the pure devotees. Bhavadiya Vartam, topics related to you. Stane, in their material position. Stitaha, remaining. Shruti Gatam, received by hearing. Tanu, with their body. Vak, words. Manobhi, and mind. Ye, who. Prayasaha, prayashaha, for the most part. Ajita, O unconquerable one. Jitaha, conquered. Api, nevertheless. Asi, you become. Taihi, by them. Trilokyam, within the three worlds. Translation and purport. Those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge and, with their body, words and mind, offer all respects to the descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees. Such people certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. Purport. Here the word Udapasya clearly indicates that one should not even slightly endeavor to understand the absolute truth by the process of mental speculation, for it invariably carries one to an imperfect, impersonal understanding of God. The word Jivanti indicates that the devotee who always hears about Lord Krishna will go back home, back to Godhead, even if he cannot do he can do nothing except maintain his existence and hear topics concerning the God, the Lord. Srila Sanatana Goswami has explained the words Tanu, Vak, Manobhi by the body, mind and words in three ways. In reference to devotees, through their body, words and mind, they are able to conquer Lord Krishna, thus becoming perfect in Krishna consciousness. They can touch his lotus feet by their hands, call him to come with their words and attain his direct audience with their mind simply by thinking about him. In the case of non-devotees, the words Tanuvang Manobhir refer to the word Ajita, unconquered, and indicate that those who not engaged in loving service of the Lord Krishna cannot conquer the absolute truth by bodily strength, verbal expertise and mental power. Despite all their endeavors, the ultimate truth remains beyond their reach. In reference to the word Jitaha, conquered, the words Tanuvang Manobhir indicate that pure devotees of Lord Krishna conquer his body, mind and words. Lord Krishna's body is conquered because he always remains by the side of his pure devotees. Lord Krishna's words are conquered because he always chants the glories of his devotees. And Lord Krishna's mind is conquered because he always thinks about his loving devotees. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained the words Tanuvang Manobhir in regard to the word Namantaha, that is offering obeisances. He explains that the devotees can take full advantage of the transcendental topics of the Lord by offering all respects to those topics with their body, words and mind. One should engage his body by touching the ground with his hands, head, while offering obeisances to the topics of the Lord. One should engage his words by praising transcendental literatures such as Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, as well as the devotees who are preaching such literatures. One should engage his mind by feeling great reverence and pleasure while hearing the transcendental topics of the Lord. In this way, a sincere devotee who has acquired even a small amount of transcendental knowledge about Lord Krishna can conquer him and thus go back home, back to Godhead for eternal life at the Lord's side. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Can this fan be on, please? So, the background of this particular verse is that Lord Brahma made a mistake, stole the calves and cowherd boys, and then repented and realized his mistake, and now he is in repentance offering prayers to the Lord to glorify him. And this scene is in Vrindavan, where from Vrindavan township today, you go a few kilometers to north side, there is the forest of Brahma Sammohan Lila, where Brahma stole the cows and Brahma got realization of his mistake. Then Brahma surrendered to Lord's lotus feet and Brahma offered prayers. There are four different places. So, significantly note down is that the chapter before was the last chapter which Prabhupada translated and gave the purports. And this chapter is now given explanation by his glorious disciples. So we see the reference of Prabhupada's also statements from various purports in these chapters. So Lord Brahma is in this verse glorifying the process of hearing and chanting the leelas of the Lord. And specifically this particular line, Stane Sthitaha Shrutigatam Tanuvang Manobhir, is a very famous line actually, often quoted, that how human life is meant for offering body, mind and words to Krishna in his service. By body one offers, like Ambarish Maharaj folded his hands, used his lotus feet to go to temple, used his hands to serve the Lord, used his eyes to see the Lord. Every part of the body of the Lord he utilized in serving the Lord. Here it's mentioned in purport that one should bow down in front of the Lord, in front of the scriptures of the Lord, in front of the narrations of the pastime of the Lord, with both hands and head on the ground. Similarly, we see Lord Brahma also, with his tips of all the four crowns and with his all hands, he was touching the lotus feet of the Lord, and he bade the Lord with the tears of love and repentance. So, using the body in the service of the Lord. Using the words, chanting the holy name of the Lord, singing kirtan of the Lord, using the tongue to narrate the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. This is the use of the tongue. Actually, the tongue is only meant for talking about the Lord. The tongue which even attempts or gets engaged in topics of the material world attract the powerful time for devastation. We get conquered by the time in terms of life. Life is taken away when we use the tongue in gossip, prajalpa. And mind, when we engage our body in service to Krishna in various particular ways, use our tongue to vibrate the name of the Lord and the pastimes of the Lord, then the mind also gets captured in Krishna consciousness. And then the mind starts thinking about the Lord. It thinks about the Lord, it meditates on the form of the Lord, on the dham of the Lord and leela of the Lord, and thus by this process it is mentioned in this verse very beautifully that situating ourselves in the same position wherever we are, whether we are grihasthas or sannyasis or brahmacharis or vanprasthas, in the same position one can actually conquer the Lord. And how the Lord is? The Lord is ajita. The Lord is supposed to be in unconquerable. No one, no force in the whole his, of His own creation can conquer Him. But at the same time, Achintya Bhedabhe Tattva is, although He is most unconquerable, but He still gets conquered by the love of His devotees who engage their body, mind and words in His service, in His remembrance. And He loves to be conquered. Although He is unconquerable for all the materialistic people, it is said that even one of the millions of rays, those come out of His toenails, cannot be visualized by lifetimes and lifetimes of tapasyas performed by all those impersonal and all those yogis and dhyanis and tapis. But the same Lord, from whose toenails millions of rays like this emanate, that very source of those rays is conquered by the gopis simply by love. They clap and He dances. He doesn't get only conquered, but He becomes their subservient. He follows their instructions. The way they want, He does. That kind of conquering He likes to be. He likes to get conquered in this particular way. So this kind of virodabhas or, you know, achinta bhedabhe tattva is always seen in the personality of Godhead. Always. He is always existing within the realm of two extremes at the same time. That is the beauty of Sri Krishna. And then there is a prefix to that, is called achintya. It always remains achintya. Inconceivable. And this is the beauty of our Lord. This gives us great hope, because although it is like most difficult for people like us to even understand the Lord, He makes it possible by His being achintya bhedabhe tattva. By His being available in the two extremes of the realm of His existence. We being most in hopeless condition, still are in most hopeful condition because of His compassion, right? On our own we are most hopeless, but by His compassion we are most hopeful. Jagai Madai also were such a situation that even Yamraj was completely finished, you know, completely exhausted. He said, who can deliver these people? You know, my people also have to make a long plan how to give them the punishment that we have stored in the holes in the Yamaloka ground. All of our stock houses are full. But at the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just by the dint of one embrace, completely delivered them, which is unbelievable. So Yamaraj had to faint again and again and go and witness himself that this is also possible. So His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj one time told us that we were visiting Madhai Goswami's Samadhi, and he was sitting for a long time there. So I personally asked him, what were you thinking in front of the Samadhi of Madhai? He said, in front of Samadhi of Madhai, I was thinking that we also have a hope. The most so-called, not that time, when they were sinful, the most so-called impossible people to be delivered can also be delivered by the expanse of the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So we also have some hope. That is the whole thing. So this is the realm of Achintya Bhedabhe Tattva. At the same time, something most difficult which becomes most easy by the mercy of the Lord. So what we have to do? Lord Brahma says that simply that inconquerable Lord, ununderstandable Lord, inconceivable Lord can be most easily understandable, can be most easily understood. We can conceive His personality, although not unlimitedly, but at least a glimpse can be there. How? Simply in the given material so-called conditions that we are living in, maybe whatever ashram we are living in, we have to simply use our body, mind and words in service to Krishna. And try and avoid engaging body, mind and words in the activities which are not connected to Krishna. Rupa Goswami says, anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. That means the highest principle of vairagya, he explained in simple words, which also doesn't demand you to be in sannyas ashram or brahmacharya ashram. One can be in grastha ashram also, or brahmacharya also, or sannyasi also. The principle is use your body, mind and words in activities that are favorable to Krishna, and do not engage them in the activities that are not favorable to Krishna. If time comes to decide what I should do, just we have to think whether these activities are anukul to my Krishna consciousness or not. And according to Rupa Goswami, this is the highest level of renunciation. Not simple beginning level of renunciation. The highest level of renunciation is to use our body, mind and words in favorable activities to please the Lord. And Lord Brahma, after doing that mistake, when he has come to the realization that this 7-year-old small, not 7-year-old, he was below 5 years because he was doing Vatsapal Leela at that time, maybe 4 years old, 4.5 years old. This small boy is not a small boy. He is my master, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he said afterwards that, as I think I have known you, I have come to understanding that I don't know you. And the more I think that I come to know you, I only come to know that I don't know you enough. That is another virodhavas, you know. You think you know Krishna, but you actually come to a realization that it is impossible to know the limits of Krishna's personality and his activities. So this is the topmost brain of the whole universe, rather topmost 4 brains that he had given in this particular universe, you know. With, you can imagine how much intelligence, how much, you know, how much sukshma capacities Lord must have bestowed upon him. It's like the four-celled zygote that takes birth in the womb of a woman after having union of male and men and women. The four-celled zygote, we can't even see it with eyes, barely with microscope. That has the information of the whole body for all the number of years that we are going to live, how the things are going to be. What diseases, what shape, what beauty, what color, what function, what all kinds of things. It's stored in a small thing. Like that, such a vast expanse of this universe, the information of all that processing is stored in those 4 brains. And we cannot imagine. We cannot even see the earth when we are flying on the aeroplane. We are talking about the 14 planetary systems which are created, generated, maintained, engineered by Brahma. And that brain, the supreme first brain in the sense of Jiva, is thinking, is offering prayers to the Lord that I am sorry, you are my Lord and I made a mistake, please forgive me. And now he is telling, after this realization, that the only way to conquer you is to dedicate our lives in thinking about you, in thinking about the various pastimes that you have performed, the katha of your wonderful activities. Because janma karma chame devyam evam yo veti tatvataha, it is for sure that one who is engaged in hearing the wonderful appearance and the divine pastimes of the Lord will never take birth again on leaving this material body. This is the promise of Bhagavad Gita, and he says that those activities which you narrate yourself, O Lord, those activities you do yourself, O Lord, and those things that you speak, O my Lord, that means Bhagavad Gita, and many more things, like Uddhava Gita, and many more instructions that Lord has given. Whenever we think about them, talk about them, meditate on them, and add them to others, this is a sure shot way of completely eradicating all the bondages of material life, completely eradicating all the sinful tendencies of our life, and eventually even the seed of the sinful life can be eradicated. And not only this is the negative benefits, I would say, what we would get is the attraction for the Lord. What we would develop is the Shuddha Bhakti in the Lord. And Shuddha Bhakti is Krishna Akarshini. So even Krishna gets attracted to those souls who are vibrating his beautiful pastimes. So narrating Krishna's pastimes, hearing Krishna's pastimes attentively is the most sure-shot method of creating great fortune in our life. Whenever Srimad Bhagavatam is being narrated, the Vakta and the Shrotagan, the audience, their fortunes rises like anything. It is like creating fortune for people who are hearing the narration of Krishna's pastimes. By that way, simply by engaging each other in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, one unimaginably eradicates all the unwanted things and develops the lamp of devotion in the heart. And this is the very purpose of life, actually. Rest, all activities are supposed to be corroborative, supportive to this main activity. It's like management of an institute, like Bhakti Vedanta Hospital. Purpose is to link people with Krishna through the medical profession. And all the everything else that is required to do is management, that is simply supportive. It's not the main activity. It's not the main business there. Similarly, the whole human life we may have to stay in the house, earn money, maintain the body, take bath, go to doctor, so many things we are doing. Raising family and maintaining house and properties and so many things. But these are all supposed to be secondary supportive activities. The primary business of human life is to engage body, mind and word. Tanu vang manobhir. Remaining wherever we are, but engaging our body, mind and words in thinking about the Lord and serving the Lord. And that simple activity, which is so subtle and so sublime, can take us back to Godhead. That much we have to have faith, that if we do these activities with full mind, with full concentration, with full dedication, full understanding, then these activities itself, they will take us back to Godhead. And Brahma is, in this particular verse, stressing these activities as the main purpose of life, so that this very human life, which is fortunately awarded to us, can be successful. And we don't have to come back again in any other species of life on this earth in the future degrading Kali Yuga and suffer perpetually. So whenever suffering comes, we will get bewildered, but we have to understand that immediately we have to get engaged in thinking about the Lord, reading about the Lord, hearing about the Lord and chanting about the Lord. Just get back to the process immediately. We will find that all the moroseness will be immediately taken away. As soon as we come in the contact of Sri Krishna through various means of body, mind, words and any other means, the very contact of the Lord will deliver us from all the misfortune and situate us in transcendental bliss instantly. It is not after some time. Instantly you will feel like we go to temple and offer lamp on the month of Kartik. As soon as we light the lamp and start moving around the Lord with devotion, immediately all the inauspiciousness, moroseness, depression goes away. And immediately we get enlivened. That is because the Lord is like that. The Lord can take away all the inauspiciousness as soon as we connect with Him. So what remains is just to connect with Him and help others to connect with Him. So, as in Kali Yuga, philosophy is very difficult to understand and long time cannot be engaged in philosophical discussions because our brain is not so calibrated. But easiest thing in this age is to hear stories of the Lord. And in between understand the purport of the story, the meaning and the essence of the story. So today also is a very auspicious day. Today is, so many occasions are there. We'll try to briefly narrate one by one and fulfill the purport of this verse, which is spoken by Brahma, by narrating and discussing. First of all, today is the appearance of Nimbarkacharya. Nimbarkacharya is the acharya of one of the four sampradayas, that is Nimbarka Sampradaya, or before it is Kumar Sampradaya. He was born in the Madras province, South Indian Dravidian province, and born in the 13th century, if I am not wrong, to Aruni and Jayanti. Aruni was father's name, Aruni, and mother's name was Jayanti. And he was born in South India in 13th century. Most of his life he spent in a place called Neemgaon near Govardhan and also in Nandagaon. Why his name was Nimbarka? Because even before he met his Guru Kumaras, he was a great Jnani and great Tapasvi and great Siddha also. So one of the Jain Pandit he defeated in Nandagaon. And after defeating, he invited him for prasad. And all the Jains, they don't eat after sunset. So already sunset. So Jain Pandit said, I cannot eat prasad after sunset. So this boy, he created sun. He made the sun appear, Surya appear from a neem tree. And he made it into a daytime. And then he, as soon as the sun was seen, the Jain Pandit said, yes, I will eat. And they ate prasad. So that is why it's called as Nimbaditya or Nimbarka. One who created sun god, made him appear through a neem tree. So he's called Nimbaditya. And then he ate prasad with him. There's a beautiful story about him in Navadvip Dham. You know, there is in Vrindavan, there are seven forests, and there is one forest called Belvan, which is across Jamuna, where we know that Lakshmi Devi performed tapasya and is still performing tapasya to get entrance in Rasa Leela of Krishna. That Bhailavan is manifested in Navadvip, in Rudradvipa. How many of you went this time to Rudradvipa? Yeah. You must have visited a place called Bilvapaksha. Yeah, Bilvapaksha is the representative of Bhailavan of Vrindavan in Navadvip. So at that place, so many pure Brahmanas worshipped Lord Shiva offering bale leaves. And after 15 days of such offering, Lord Shiva got very pleased. But among those Brahmins, one of the Brahmins were very, very pure-hearted. That was this Nimbarka. And the way he offered, with so much of love and devotion for Lord Shiva, without any expectation which is unheard of. So especially being pleased with all the Brahmanas, still Lord Shiva appeared to this particular Brahmana in personal presence. And he said, I am very, very pleased with you. And because I am pleased with you, I give benediction to you. You will meet your guru, or rather gurus, the Kumaras, the four Chatush Kumaras, the four Kumaras, the sons of Lord Brahma. They are worshipping the Lord in this very forest, deep in the forest. And they will be invisible to everybody, but they will be visible to you. Please go and find them, and they will initiate you in the worship of Radha and Krishna. So immediately left, and he searched for them in the forest, and soon enough he found them after a long time, only visible to him and not visible to anybody. And he chanted the name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the meditation of these four Kumaras broke, and they saw Nimbarka, and they were very pleased. They said, we were waiting for you. He said, I also was searching for you. The Sanat Kumar out of the four, Sanak, Sanatan, Sanandan and Sanat Kumar. The Sanat Kumar of this four said that, we are very pleased with your devotion and sincerity and this pure heart. And I have written a scripture called Sanat Kumar Samhita, in which I have elaborated how to worship Radha and Krishna. I want to award this scripture to you, and we all want to initiate you. So then on behalf of the four, Sanat Kumar initiated him in Bhava Marga, in the worship of Radha and Krishna, and gave him Radha Krishna Mantra. And thus he stayed in the forest itself and worship Radha and Krishna as per the scripture given by Sanat Kumar, that is Sanat Kumar Sahita. And that thus came the Sampradaya, that is Kumara Sampradaya or Nimbarka Sampradaya. And then when he worshipped Radha and Krishna, Radha Krishna themselves appeared to him. And again appreciated his worship. There's a long discussion that he did. But the essence of that is that Radha Krishna, while they were giving darshan and speaking to him, they said, we will come together in Kali Yuga. And suddenly they became together and appeared as Gauranga Mahaprabhu to Nimbarkacharya in Bilva Paksha, that is in Navadvipa. And there Lord Gauranga said, and I will come and chant the holy name and sing and dance in the kirtan of the holy name and distribute the love of Godhead everywhere. At that time, O Nimbarka, you will come as Keshav Kashmiri. You will take birth in Kashmir. Saraswati, Mother Saraswati will bless you with all the knowledge and to speak through you, through your tongue. You will become Digvijayi, and in the pride you will come to Navadvip, and arrogant and intoxicated with knowledge, myself as a boy will defeat you, and then you will go again back in humble condition to distribute the message of that I have been giving on my behalf. You will distribute that message to all over the world. So Nimbarkacharya is also Keshav Kashmiri. He came and the great pride with elephants, horses and Brahmins chanting, and Nimai was teaching his students at the bank of Ganga not to humiliate him in public. He just had discussion with him and then he was defeated. You all know the story. Mother Saraswati said, this is my lord. How can I talk something against my lord? But he was wondering why Saraswati did not support him in the most precarious condition. She said, he's my lord. You go and surrender to him. So Keshav Kashmiri surrendered to him and then went back and preached the glories of Lord Gauranga. So this pastime took place in Bilva Paksha. And the Gauranga Mahaprabhu, when he appeared to him in Bilva Paksha, he said that I will take two things from your sampradaya and two things from other three sampradayas, and I will preach accordingly. And the two things that I will take from your sampradaya is the principle of taking shelter of Srimati Radharani, the internal potency of Krishna, and the highest esteem of the gopi's love for Krishna. I will incorporate in my teachings. And to save Kali Yuga, Vishnu Swami will be initiated by Lord Shiva, Lakshmi Devi will accept Ramanuja Acharya, And Brahma will accept Madhva and Kumara will accept you. And these four sampradayas will deliver Kaliyuga from the more pangs of nations. So there is a place called Nimgaon, as I told you. It's the bhajan stali of Nimbarkacharya. He spent most of his life from childhood in that place. There is a beautiful temple of Radha Krishna and also a kund, Nimbarka kund there. So Nimbarkacharya's temples are very much present in Vrindavan. There's one temple of Sriji in Lohi Bazar. Very famous Sriji Mandir in Vrindavan. That is also controlled by Nimbarkacharis, Nimbarka Sampradaya followers. Today also is Kartik Purnima or Rasa Purnima. It is also called as Deva Diwali or Rasa Purnima or Tripuri Purnima. The reason being is Lord Shiva gained victory over Tripurasur on today's day. Deva Diwali it is called because the demigods and Vishnu, they all go to sleep at Ashada Ekadashi, Devashayana Ekadashi. That's where the Chaturmasya Vaishnavas begins. We start from Purnima, but the other Smartas fall start from Ekadashi. Nonetheless, at that time, all the demigods and Vishnu goes to sleep. And they wake up, all of them wake up on the Ekadashi. That is Deva Uthavani Ekadashi, or Hari Budhini Ekadashi, or Uthana Ekadashi. And at that time, the demigods all come and reside in the holy rivers on earth. And Lord Vishnu with Lakshmi and Brahma enter Vrindavan on this particular day. That is why it's called Deva Diwali, because all the residents of earth planet light lamps and, you know, so celebrate their appearance in their own places in the rivers. Today is a very auspicious day, on the day of which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered Sri Vrindavan Dham. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki! 2 months Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed, and we have discussed in the past in at length about what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did in Vrindavan. But he entered today and stayed for the next Margashirsh and Paush half. He stayed in Vrindavan. Today also is a day where in Vrindavan Sri Krishna performed Raslila. He began Raslila on Sharat Purnima day. And today's day, what happened was Kamadev, you know, he has his flower arrows and flower bow, and he goes on defeating everybody. So he defeated Brahma and many demigods, and with pride he came to Krishna. He said, please, I request conquest for with you also. So Lord Krishna said, yes, I am about to begin my Raslila with the gopis, and you come there, and if you find any material tinge of attraction and attachment in me for the gopis, you can take me as defeated and you can take yourself as victorious. Otherwise, you will be defeated. There is a beautiful place called Madan Ter. How many of you have been to Madan Ter? It's just across our hospice, few minutes walk, towards on the Parikrama Road, towards Kalia Ghat. So that is a place where on today's day, Kamadeva was defeated by Krishna. Krishna appeared and reappeared and disappeared from the Raslila in the full moon night. Similar pastime takes place. So Sarat Purnima also and other Purnimas also. And Kamadeva got defeated today. And he was completely attracted by the divine prowess of Sri Krishna. Today is also another beautiful day. I just confirmed just before the class that Brahma Samohan Leela took place. And before the Brahma Samohan Leela, there was Krishna's marriage with Radharani was being discussed. After Radharani, she was put turmeric powder by Yashoda. So everybody was thinking of getting them married, and even all the gopis were desiring to have Krishna as their husband. But Purnamasi made the plan completely cancelled by giving some reason to maintain the Parakya Bhav. So then Krishna understood that these gopis are so much enamored and they want him to be their husband, and Radharani also wanted to marry. So he arranged the Brahma Samohan Leela to take place. And during the Brahma Samohan Leela, he became all the coward boys. And he arranged all the gopis to get married with Krishna himself. So all the coward boys was Krishna, and all the gopis got actually married with him. And that 1 year they stayed with him as husband and wife. But before this Leela was performed, seeing that Purnamasi made all the gopis began Katyayani Vrat. That is, they went to the bank of Jamuna and made Katyayani Devi out of sand and worshipped her, keeping a fast for all 30 days. And that Katyayani Vrat also begins today. So although worshipping Devi is not favorable in our Vaishnava Sampradaya, but still this kind of worshipping Devi is very much advised, because this is meant for Krishna to be in the center. They had Krishna in their mind and they worship Devi for getting Krishna's favor. So this 30 days vrata of Katyayani also began today. Also today, according to Puranas, of course I told you that Krishna, Vishnu comes in Vrindavan, and in also there is a end of Bhishma Panchak today. So one more thing I'll tell you, that today there is a nakshatra called Kritika Nakshatra, which is going to be there till 2:43 PM, and the period up to 2:43 PM today is called Mahakartiki, and it is very, very auspicious, and whoever does any donations in service to Krishna and devotees will be benefited with great blessings of devotion and purity of the heart. So Mahakartiki is there till 2:43 PM today, technical knowledge. And in the evening of today, the Lord's incarnation of Matsya, the fish incarnation, took birth today. So Matsya avatar is also appearance day today. The Dwadashi that we had was called as Kshirabdi Dwadashi. Why it is called Kshirabdi Dwadashi? Because the great process of Samudra Manthan by the demigods and the demons began today on the Dwadashi day. The whole process of Samudra Manthan started on Kshirabdi Dwadashi. So in South India, this is celebrated in a great way. And of course, Tulsi Vivaha took place today also with Shaligram. Today is the fifth day of Bhishma Panchaka. And Lord Krishna told Bhishmadev personally that these 5 days of the month of Kartik, the last 5 days, are very, very important. If you keep Vrata and meditate on me and chant my holy name, you will get great purification and attain my abode. So Bhishmadev, on the bed of arrows, on the land of Kurukshetra, in the most painful condition, followed this Vrata. Of course, there was no question of eating. Already he was fasting. But he concentrated his mind on Krishna. And he said, because of this particular Vrata, Bhishmadev was successful in attaining darshan of Krishna on the day of Makar Sankranti and could go back to Godhead. Also, it is explained in the Puranas that on these 5 days, Bhishmadev narrated all the knowledge to the Pandavas. When he was a boy, he attained knowledge from Braspati first by the grace of his mother, Ganga Devi. Then he came to Janu Dvipa in Navadvipa, where from Janu Muni's body, Gangaji was released. So she is called Janavi, daughter of Janu. So Janu Muni was his grandfather. So he came to Janu Muni's ashram, stayed like a humble brahmachari student, and learned all the knowledge, remaining knowledge from Janu Muni. And all that knowledge that he learned, he narrated in these 5 days to the Pandavas. And that is why this is called Bhishma Panchaka also. So, these 5 days are very important. The devotees fast on these days. Of course, today is the last day. Even if you want to start again, you will start next year. But nonetheless, it is advised that one keeps fast, eats once a day in the evening, fruits and vegetables, and chants the holy name whole day. And on the fifth day, calls Brahmin Vaishnavas, serves them grains with their own hands, and cooked by own hands, serves them, gives them dakshina, pleases them with sweet words and scriptures. And next day, the devotee eats grains and breaks his fast after taking bath. We are also supposed to offer mental tarpana to Bhishmadev in these 5 days. This is also a very important activity. Remembering Bhishma, we should begin our Kartik Bhishma Panchak Vrata. And this is also in South India. In Orissa, it is celebrated as Bhaga Panchuka Vrata. In South India, in Andhra and Karnataka, it is celebrated as Paitha Mahakrucha Vrata. So very technical terms and technical differences are there, but ultimately everybody remembers Bhishmadev, that is most important, who is one of the great Mahajans. Now today is also Kartik Purnima Tulsi Vivaha Day. I will narrate the story in brief. There was a king, Vrishadhvaja, who actually became Shiva Pujak and Vishnu Nindak. Some of him was a Vaishnava by birth, but still he became attached to Lord Shiva, which is all right, but he became averse to Lord Vishnu, lost all wealth and power till his third generation Dharmadvaja was born, and Dharmadvaja again became a Vaishnava and started worshipping Lakshmi Devi and Krishna, Vishnu, gained their favor, and due to the worship of Lakshmi, Dharmadvaja conceived the plenary expansion of Vishnu in his wife, Madhavi Devi. Madhavi Devi conceived the plenary expansion of Lakshmi and gave birth to a very effulgent, beautiful girl whose name was Tulsi, because her qualities and beauty were not comparable with anybody. Tula. Nobody could be compared with her. So her name was given Tulsi. And Tulsi went to Badrivan, where our Vyasadeva lives, where Madhvacharya had gone, you know, Badrikashrama. And there she did very severe penances. And Lord Brahma appeared to her. And she said, I have been cursed by Radharani in Goloka during the Raslila time to become human on earth. So I am performing tapasya and you have appeared in the response to my tapasya. I want to marry Narayan as my husband. So Lord Brahma said, in Golok Vrindavan itself, when Krishna was enjoying with Viraja Devi, Radharani got angry and she wanted to see where they are enjoying. And at that time, Sridhama was on guard, as guard. He didn't let her go in. In the meantime, they both disappeared, but Sridhama was the one. Two times she came and he didn't let her go in. So she got very angry with her brother Sridhama and she cursed him, you will become a demon on earth. Sridhama counter cursed her that you will be away from your beloved for 100 years on earth. And that is why the 100 years, we say, no, one century of separation, one decade of union. The century of separation was because of Sridhama's curse. So Radharani also took birth on earth and had a viraha for 100 years. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. So Sridhama became Shankachura demon on earth when Krishna was performing pastimes. And Radharani came as Radharani. And this Brahmaji told the story to Tulsi. And he said, Shankachura has performed severe austerities to get you as his wife. So time being, you will become his wife. And when he will be killed, you will become wife of Lord Vishnu by his wonderful pastimes. Shankachura came searching. He had performed tapasya and received kavach from Brahma. And he came down to Vajrikashram and Brahmaji appeared there when he met Tulsi and got him married together. And also gave a boon to Shankachura that because of her chastity, you will not be defeated by anybody. Second boon. One is kavacha and second is chastity boon. So he became very proud. He started disturbing all the demigods, caused havoc, conquered all demigods. And demigods fled away everywhere. He went to Lord Vishnu and Brahma. So Vishnu said, don't worry, I will do this needful. He told Lord Shiva, you please go and challenge this Shankachura. So Lord Shiva went and challenged and went into a big fight with him. At that time when the fight was going on, Lord Vishnu became a Brahmin and came in the fighting field in the Yuddha Bhumi and begged for the kavacha of Shankachura. Shankachura, as generous he was, immediately gave his kavach to the Brahmin. And then same Vishnu came to the home of Tulsi Devi in the guise of Shankachura himself and broke the chastity of Tulsi. And as soon as the chastity of Tulsi was broken, immediately Shiva could sever the head of Shankachura. And the head itself came flying in the sky. Vrinda, Tulsi, what happened? So when she came, she heard the voice of the husband, and her husband was with her in the house also. So immediately she understood that there's some cheating, there's some disguise. The Vishnu could not maintain his disguise. He had to appear as Vishnu. And she saw her husband's head on the sky. So she cursed Vishnu that you broke my chastity, you'll become a stone. So Vishnu said, I'm very happy to accept this boon. I will like to remain at your feet. And of course then Lord Vishnu benedicted her, gave her benediction that you will give up this body and your body itself will become Gandaki river. And from your hair, a beautiful plant of Tulsi Devi will be born. And that Tulsi Devi plant will be the presiding deities of all trees in the whole creation. And without you, my worship will not be completed. That boon was given to him. And I will remain as a stone at the banks of your river Gandaki. And I also will remain at the feet of your plant, Tulsi Devi, as Shaligram Shila. So that stone is Shaligram Shila. So on this day, also on the day of Ekadashi, Dwadashi, that is Hari Bodhini Ekadashi, Kshirabdi Dwadashi, and today's day Kartik Purnima, Lord Vishnu gets married with Vishnu, Tulsi. Tulsi Devi. And he said that the Tulsi has to be minimum, plant has to be minimum 3 years old to get the marriage performed. And one who performs the marriage of Tulsi with Shaligram, and those who visit and the remain in the audience, they get completely purified and develop love for Godhead by the mercy of Tulsi Devi and Shaligram. Small knowledge about Shaligram. Gautamiya Tantra says that Shaligram Shilas are only available in Gandaki River. Skandapur. Devotees, the effects of all these things can be multiple times available to all of us. That is why this particular time is given to us. It's a auspicious time where similar activities done in previously can be rewarded multiple times to all of us. Great grand sale of the Lord, and we can be with the Lord very close, very soon, with short span of time. So today is a very auspicious day. We have still more few hours to go to end, and the last day of offering lamps. We pray to the Lord that on the day when He performed Rastila, on the day when He did many all wonderful leelas in different forms and activities and different avatars, we beg for Him that please give us attraction to Your lotus feet, to Your service, to Your pastimes, as the Lord Brahma is narrating. And let the lamp of devotion light in our heart perpetually, continuously, eternally, so that we can serve You, we can remain with You, and become Your eternal servants, that we are, that we realize, and we can remain Your eternal servants. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments, questions, tippani? Time is up, I think. Sarantaraj Madhagavatam ki, Kartik Purnima Mahamahotsav ki, Shaligram Tulsi Devi ki, Thai Gaur Primanande, Hare Hare Bol.